What I really want to talk to you guys about today is being disciples. Okay, disciples. We talk about that word all the time. It's in our mission statement, making disciples who make his way known. But what really is that? You know, sometimes I think we've turned that into just a phrase. But I want to talk about what that is and what it takes to be a true disciple of Christ. So let's define it a little bit. Simply put, a disciple is a follower of Christ. And as you read through the New Testament, you see two ways that he's described. Number one is a disciple, a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyles that they require. That's interesting, the lifestyles that they require, not just teaching, but it's applying. And secondly, when you hear disciples talked about in the Bible, it's said like this, to disciple or to train. There's an activity involved in disciples, in discipleship, the whole concept of making disciples. In other words, to develop in the truths of Scripture and the lifestyle required. So sometimes we are disciples, okay, and sometimes we're making disciples. And usually it's both and, okay? So Christian discipleship is one of the few principles or practices in the world that we apply to our lives. We learn from Jesus, and then we're called to live them out. And I think that's why we even come in here this morning. I think this is a room full of men that desire more, that not only are disciples, but that want to be disciples. But I want to explain what that means, because in the context of how we do discipleship, there's always people involved. But the Apostle Paul had to address that with the Corinthians, okay? So 1 Corinthians 1, verses 12 through 13, and it says this, "Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, 'I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" So what I'm talking about is being a follower of Jesus. Nobody's of Brad or of Gabe or, you know, of your life group leader. That's not how that goes. So understand that as we begin to talk about other men that lead men. Okay, we're still all followers of Christ. But what we're looking for is to find somebody that acts like Jesus most of the time, as much as possible. Nobody's perfect, right? We're people. But we're looking for somebody that acts like Jesus that we can imitate. In other words, not mock, but imitate. Do the things he does because he's doing the things that Jesus does. It's a model. It's a type. Okay, I've heard this phrase before, follow me as I follow Christ. It's how we lead our homes. Man, it's how we lead our homes. But here's a couple of points about being disciples, and then we'll dive into what that looks like. And we talked about it already. First, it's uncommon. Understand that really being a follower of Jesus is uncommon. Now, I'm not saying that you're not one if you're saved. The minute you get saved, you profess faith in Jesus and you're following him. But how far? How far will you take it? Will you do like Peter said when Jesus challenged him in John 6 and he says, "Do you guys want to leave too?" He's challenging the apostles. "Do y'all want to leave too?" And Peter turned to him and said, "No, Lord. Where else would we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life." That's the guy we're following. So here's what else Paul said to the Corinthians. "Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." So Paul, even after telling them, "You're not of me, but you need to be like me." See the difference? It's more like coaching, all right? This isn't just some academic exercise we come for. We pick up these things in church, and then we go out and apply them. And the second thing about being disciples, it is imperative. And sometimes I don't think we think that way. Sometimes it feels optional. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 says this. Paul's talking to Timothy. "Timothy, my dear son, be strong, and through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. That's the principle. It's not me and then I just go live my life. That's why I'm up here today. People discipled me. Now I disciple others who disciple others who disciple others. You see the picture? So sometimes I hear Christianity is a marathon. Yes. Sometimes I hear people say it's a sprint. But both those at some points are relevant. But here's the picture. I really believe that Christianity is a relay race. I used to run a lot faster, if you can believe that. But I'm running slower. But many times I feel myself handing that baton off. No, it'd be like this, right? So I'm handing it off to the guy in front of me. And they keep going. And they hand it off to the next guy. And this is a relay race, guys. It has no end until Jesus comes back. Amen. So that's the picture. And it is imperative that we carry our baton to the next generation. And don't get hung up on age when I say next generation. I'm talking about the next generation in the spirit, the next generation of believers that are going to carry that baton. So being disciples is number one, uncommon. And number two, it's absolutely imperative. So let's take a look at our mission statement. We've kind of defined it. We get that we're not following a man, we're following Jesus, but we're following the examples of men that Jesus sets for each and every one of us. Our mission statement says, making disciples who make his way known. So implied in that statement is both sides of the discipleship coin. Being a disciple, making a disciple. It's easy to see the making disciple. It says, making disciples. Jesus said that, the Great Commission. What does it say? Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Okay, Jesus said, making disciples. So we're just copying Jesus. But the back part's interesting to me. It says, who make his way known. You're not going to make any disciples if you don't know Jesus' way. That's the part of our mission statement. It says, you must be a disciple. You must be a follower of Jesus to help others make his way known. To pass that baton, I have to know what I'm handing off. I'm not handing off a snake or a stick or a rock. I'm handing off what's part of the race. So ask yourselves these questions. Do you know his way? Do you act like Jesus? Then you are a disciple. You're a follower, not simply a believer. Getting saved's easy. Amen? It's a one-time act. But remaining in faithful discipleship to the Lord Jesus is a lifetime. I will always be a disciple because there's always more training that I need. So with that in mind, let's look at some 8 practical steps of what it's like to be a disciple and maybe how some of that sorts out. And we're going to call these components of being a disciple. There's not just one thing about being a disciple, and I'm sure there's many, many more. But these are 8 that if we can get, you know, these 8, we have done well. Okay, but in today, the focus is about being a disciple. What's going to take us as individuals to the next level? So let's look at these 8. Number 1, time together. Mark 3:14 says this, and he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out. Okay, so again, Jesus, the model, picked 12 guys just like y'all, okay, fishermen, all kinds of people. And he wanted to spend time with them. So the first thing to understand about being a disciple is you got to spend time with other disciples. And preferably, spend some time with disciples that have done it longer than you. Okay, like Gabe was saying, find somebody. They may be older. Typically they are, but not always. But they are always older, more mature in the Lord. They may be just one step ahead of you, but you know what? They might have learned something you haven't learned. So spending time is important because Jesus understood this. He built the apostles' character long before he released them into ministry. That's our first step in discipleship, to look and act like Jesus. Well, if that's not an exercise in building character, nothing is. It's so important. So let someone invest in you. So ask yourself this question. Who do I spend time with? Who do I spend time with? That's an honest question. Okay? And I would challenge you to even to quantify that, to say, how much time am I spending with the right kind of people? Because we all know what it's like to spend time with the wrong kind of people. Amen? I love this front row's amen-ing me up here. Come on. Okay. I won't dwell on that, but it's probably, to me, one of the top two in the list. Spend time with disciples, because understand, men, that disciples make disciples. Okay, let's go on. Number two. Timothy, my beloved son. Man, the more you read about the Apostle Paul, the more you understand how much he loved Timothy. He wrote whole books to him, and he loved discipling him, and he loved encouraging him. Timothy, my beloved son. Who doesn't want to hear that? 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. That's an encouragement. Timothy, I know maybe Timothy was going through a rough patch, but I'm telling you, son, remember what God's done in your life. Who encourages you? Who do you spend time with that encourages you? See, it's not really important how we start any of this, even our little relay race. We may miss the gun a little bit. We might, you know, get a little false start going and get to start over. It's not important at all how we start. Just start. The more critical thing is how we finish the race. How do we hand off the baton? Amen. Number three, discipline. This is where everybody goes, oh, can we just go to number four? No, we cannot. We have to talk about it. Look at these scriptures. Then read this whole Hebrews 12. It's awesome in context. Hebrews 12:7, it says, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? I get that. 12:10, and God disciplines us for our good. So no matter what your earthly experiences was, it says they disciplined us the best they knew how. But our God in heaven, our real Father, the Father for the rest of our lives, disciplines us for our good. And in 11 it says, and afterwards, actually before that it says, and those that have been trained by it, afterwards, training again, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Okay, so let's clarify. I don't want any confusion. I don't want anybody confusing discipline of the Lord with punishment. That is not what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Okay? God doesn't punishment. John tells us in 1 John that fear involves punishment. There's no fear in the discipline of the Lord. In fact, it's the very beginning of wisdom. Amen? So it's okay to receive discipline. I have done it many, many times. And I have learned, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like it still. I didn't like it when I first was introduced to the concept. But I did come to believe and learn and know that it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And why? Because I was disciplined or trained. Pick a word that you can live with. I was trained by men that love me more than I even love myself sometimes. Okay? Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. Amen? Receive discipline of the Lord, guys. No matter what the source is, thank Jesus for it. Okay? Now, most of those times that that's happened to me, it came through permission. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I don't just let anybody walk up and say, well, you're doing this wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that I have relationship with. People that I know have my best interest in mind. Okay, so it doesn't mean you just have to post everything on Facebook and see what discipline comes back at you. It's not about that. This is always about relationship. So don't confuse that. And if you want to talk about that more, I would be so happy to do that. Okay, so respond well to the discipline of the Lord. Number four, prayer. 2 Timothy 1:3, I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. And Psalm says, my tears are on record with you, O God. You ever pray to the point where you just cry? Just you and God. You don't have to do it in front of everybody. But there's just this place with God, this place with prayer. So I like to say it like this. Remember, these are components of being a disciple. Pray first, listen to your leaders, and pray some more. And you can substitute the word leaders for friends, peers, whatever. But it's people that make you a better disciple. Pray first, listen to them, and pray some more. Here's the way I like to see it, and I learned this the hard way too. I could say that about everything. My wife asked me one time, she said, do you have to learn everything in a trial by fire? She was sick of me messing up. And I said, yeah, apparently. But I'm getting better. My trials are few and further apart. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about prayer. It's like getting in your car that is in perfect condition. Man, it's tuned up. It's got all the right gear ratios. You're ready to go. New rubber. You're so ready. And you get in, and you turn it on, and it just goes, rah, 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 rah. Rah, 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 rah. There's no gas. That's life without prayer. You can have all the stuff and all the right words and everything you go, but you are trying to go through your entire life without the fuel that drives your car. So you'll just sit in the garage, not ready to take the next step, not ready to move forward, to drive on, to find that place in your heart where Jesus can disciple you. So prayer, to me, is the gas that drives everything. Number five. Number five, life struggles. I tried to think of a better way to put this, but you know what? It is what it is. Life struggles, we all have them. Let's not sugarcoat it. Anybody in here has not had some type of struggle in their life? Please talk to me later. I would love to meet you. Jesus had struggles. So we're in good company. But he knew exactly what to do with his struggles. And so can we. 2 Timothy 2:3 says this, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, there's Paul, discipling Timothy again. And if you look back through Acts and all the letters of Paul, he describes all kinds of crazy things that happened to him. Things that would kill us, for the most part, did not kill him. So when he says, endure your struggles with me, he's not kidding. But the key phrase in that is with me. Okay? We're not doing this alone, guys. John 10:11-12, where it talks about, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. When you get in these hard places, these life struggles, do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Jesus, do you hear the voice of the shepherds around you, if you will? The people that you love and trust. A component of being a disciple is knowing how to face life's struggles. Because the Bible's clear, struggles will come. Not if they come, they might come, they will come. And we all agree with that because we've all had them. Number six, modeling. It's in some runway thing. We're not talking about those kind of models, so just relax. You don't have to do that. Modeling. Okay? I check my slide. We teach what we know. We reproduce what we are. Again, imitate me as I follow Christ. We produce what we are. Check how Paul says it to all these different people. It's a theme. You're getting it? It's a theme. Being disciples, being discipled is a theme. I exhort you, be imitators of me, he tells the Corinthians. And the Philippians, he tells, brethren, join in following my example. And to the Thessalonians, he says, in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, that you might follow our example. I was starting to get it. Be imitators of me. That's the Corinthian verse. See, the only way to do that is really spend time with people. There is a lot of models out there. And there's more than ever. All you got to do is look on YouTube, on TV, somebody else, whatever. But I challenge you, as I've challenged myself, to model myself around people I know. People I know their warts. People I know their shortcomings. Can you model yourself after an imperfect person? Because Paul certainly was imperfect, and he's telling all these people, act like me as I act like Jesus. Okay, so don't look for the perfect model. Look for the one that loves you. Don't be anything other than real, honest, and transparent. And please, let the person helping you be real, honest, and transparent. And I think you would all agree that in our church, one of the premier models we have of that happens every Sunday morning when Pastor Brad gets up and preaches. He's real, he's honest, and vulnerable, but yet he disciples me, and I appreciate that so much. Number 7, honor. 2 Timothy 1:4 says, I am longing to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Man, how much does Paul love Timothy? Romans 12:10, give preference to one another in honor. I'm okay at that now. I used to be terrible about it. I really expected people to give preference to me. Well, why shouldn't they? I'm me. No, man. I'm a Christian. Give preference to one another in honor. Show honor to those who lead and disciple you. Okay? And that's not some weird thing. Just show preference. Just show preference. Let people speak into your life. Okay? Can we begin to value people, especially the ones who invest in us, preference more than things? Value people more than things. Amen? And number 8, connections. Connections. That is my second favorite part of being a disciple, the components of being a disciple, is spending time with people and connections. And really, they're all the same. And frankly, I could take all 8 points and say, boil it all down to say, please be discipled. Because it makes all the difference. But let's look at connections. What does that look like? To God, obviously. But sometimes we forget it. One time I was going through one of life's struggles, and I remember finally crying out to God and saying, God, why do I never hear from you? He said, because I'm the last person you ask. Ouch. Don't let God be your last connection, your cry of last resort. Let him be the first person you turn to. And to each other, and we've talked about that all morning. But here at Harvest, we have a few other ways to help facilitate being connected. Sunday mornings, right? That's a connection. It's a corporate connection. We all come together. You know, embarrassingly, we had membership class Sunday night, and I look across the room, and I find out they've been with us for maybe a year, and I'm like, I've never seen them before. Well, that's on me, not on them. It's hard to connect on Sunday morning, though, very deeply, so that's why we have life groups. We have life groups so we can get around people of like mind, faith, and learn from one another. You see, we need 3 types of connections in our lives. We need the Apostle Paul in our life. We need the Timothy, the ones we're leading. And we need the Barnabas, kind of those peer type relationships where iron sharpens iron. We need those connections, and life groups is one of the places we do that. Team Harvest, another great place to connect. Y'all see all the work that goes on. We have 175 volunteers each Sunday to make church happen because, frankly, that's how church happens around here. We love people. And we have a different rotation 4 times. So Team Harvest is great. And then a final way to be discipled. We literally call them our discipleship classes, our discipleship track, Freedom in Christ, Holy Spirit class. Amen. So there's plenty of ways at Harvest to get connected. But here's the real goal of doing all that, is so when we leave this place, we're able to make real world connections, whatever our circle of influence is. Amen. So I want to remind us, we are not alone. You are not alone. Stay reliably connected is going to be the key to our discipleship track. You see, that's God's plan. He called 12 that they might be with him, so then he can send them out. Who are we with? Who are you with? So let's recap. Let's put all of them up there. Time together. Encouragement. Discipline. Prayer. Life struggles. Modeling. Honor. And connections. Now, as a whole, that looks like a mighty long list, maybe insurmountable even. But here's the truth. Don't see it like a list of to-dos. This is a lifestyle we're talking about, and we will not get this right every time. We will not get them all in place always at the same time. But all of a sudden, you find yourself, I'm operating in three components and four components and seven components. And all of a sudden, the scale tips. You become a strong enough disciple that life feels surmountable. Life feels real to me now because I am a disciple. Amen. We are Christians, guys. We are little Christ. We are Christians. Amen. We are disciples. So here's the challenge. Ask yourself, of those eight, which one could I really work on? Do I spend time with people that I would like to be like? Because I promise you they're out there. Don't disqualify people offhand. Amen. All right, so let's go back to our mission statement. Making disciples who make his way known. We get making disciples. This morning we've been talking about being a disciple because we know his way. And we found others that know his way. And we're going to learn from them and glean from them. They're not called elders for no reason. Okay? That's because they've had to live it out. You know how my children are adults now. And I watched them do some of the same mistakes I did. And they learned the hard way, but not always. Because they come to me and they say, Dad, what do you think about this? I tell them. I have permission, their own permission, to speak into their lives. We disciple our own children. We just call it something else. We call it parenting or whatever you want to call it. So I want to leave us with this mission statement thoughts. Number one, systems don't make disciples. Okay, coming to freedom in Christ does not make you a disciple. It makes you a better disciple. I'll even tell you guys that Harvest doesn't make disciples. We facilitate discipleship at this church, and you guys all know that. But coming to Harvest does not make you a disciple. Going to any church does not make you a disciple. So get over that. Attendance is not what makes you a disciple. Only other disciples make disciples. Read the New Testament with an umbrella contextual view, especially after the Gospels, and that's all it's about. Discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. Corinthians, please look like Jesus. Philippians, please look like Jesus. We're trying really hard to help you with that, Paul would say. Look like Jesus. Disciples, make disciples. Do as I do, because I've already been there and done that. Trust me. Okay? Now, lest you pick up any thought that this is hard, it's not. In fact, it's quite simple. But I will tell you this, it's not always easy. Amen? So press through. Hang tight through the tough parts, through the struggles, through the challenges. When you go, why am I doing this? Because I've said that many times. I'm not kidding. But yet, I have found this, the fruit on the backside. Just the peace alone was worth it. Amen? All right, so the rewards, and there are, the rewards of being discipled, being a disciple, are amazing. And beyond that, and it's a whole other teaching, the whole making disciples part, but making disciples is world-changing. Being disciple is amazing, but making disciples is world-changing. Amen. So being a disciple is who we are. That's why you're in this room, I promise you. But making disciples is what we do. Making disciples, because we know his way, we can. Be a disciple, make a disciple. It's going to be essential for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And being a disciple is essential for what God has called us to do as a church. And I'm just excited about that. It has changed my life forever. Because when I was just a believer, and I mean that, I wasn't doing past that. I was saved, securing my salvation, trying to be a good guy. But I'll be honest with you, I wasn't following Jesus. So I got saved like in junior high, right? But I really didn't start following Jesus until my early 30s. And there's a difference. There really, really is. Nothing wrong with the other. It's why Jesus came. But he didn't want us to stop there, guys. He wants us to get everything today. We don't have to wait for that. Amen. All right, let me pray over you guys. Thanks for listening. Father, I thank you for this room full of disciples. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you pour out your life on them, that you bless them right now in the name of Jesus, and that you reveal to them your ways and your heart in the name of Jesus. Amen.